All right, we're back, and we're back here with Cooley and Godfrey this morning. And if you have a question for them, you can call in right now, 395-1450. We're going to talk about year-end gifting, charitables, IRAs, all that good stuff. So, gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Juke. How are you?
Good, good.
Thanks for having us, Juke. Hey, the time of year, the last quarter of the year is always a very important time of year to think about strategies of, this is a time of year when people think of gifting on to charitable organizations, whether it be, you know, private school, whether it be, you know, Love Inc., whether it be your church, you know, and there are good ways to go about this and smart ways, a way that you can leverage your money up to 20-25% more, aren't there, Jack?
Well, there is. I mean, you know, one of the things that we really try to stress to people, because some people, Duke, don't need their required minimum distribution. That's a requirement for those people who are 70 and a half, have to take money out of their IRA. And we try to really encourage them to take money and gift that to the church, gift that to a charitable organization, gift that to an organization by law that is charitable. I mean, you have to be a charitable organization. So, you know, give it to hospice, give it to whoever. But most people are philanthropic. And what we try to do is we try to stop them from paying tax on their RMD and then giving it to the church.
So, for example, those people that are 70 and a half and older have to take out a required minimum out of their IRA.
Right.
Now, if you took that money in cash, Juke, you would have to pay tax on that. Now, if you give that directly to a charitable organization, no taxes are paid by the charitable organization, and you get the full benefit of the deduction because you've gifted it to a nonprofit.
Yeah, and that's, you know, why would you want to give 75 cents on the dollar when you can give a full dollar away? This is not hard to do. We do it in kind. So, you know, we'll take shares of stock, shares of mutual funds, cash in the account, whatever is there, and we'll transfer that to the church's brokerage account. We have a number of churches who are customers of ours across the United States, Chicago, Florida, Naples, you name it. We've got churches across America where we have customers. And, again, we directly send it to their brokerage account. They sell it. You get the deduction of what it was sold for. And it's a great way for people to have a strategy instead of just giving cash in the plate. And we have people who give twice a year, or they give a large chunk at the beginning of the year. You know, we have special collections we want to have this to go for. And once people get this, they do it every year, which is a nice thing to do. But it's not hard to do this. And you'd be surprised. You know, I ask pastors, which we have a lot of pastors, may I speak with your church after Sunday, and, you know, where they're eating donuts and coffee, and there's just not much interest, or they just don't get it. Now, the pastors do it. They get it because they're our customers. But
right.
but it's, you know, the people in the church just have a hard time understanding that, why do you want to pay tax? And it's just hard for them to get that concept. But once they get it, they do it every year.
Yeah.
Now, this past year, you couldn't do it until February because the government, you know, is always behind. But the last couple of years, you can give your RMD. Now, it's only good for 13 right now. We don't know if it's going to be good for 14 because they just can't seem to get this concept. You know, our legislators are, you know, pretty quality individuals, but they just can't seem to get this concept down during the year. So if it's only good for 13 right now, not good for 14.
Okay.
So that's one of them. I mean,
you know, another common one is, let's say a person has highly appreciated assets. For example, if you bought a stock at $10 and now it's worth over $50, instead of selling it and paying taxes, and you want to gift some of that, you can gift that to a charitable organization also and not pay the capital gains tax on that. So that's another way that we encourage people that when they give large amounts, instead of putting that, as Jack mentioned, that cash or that check in the offering plate every week, let's leverage more of your money. Let's put it into the offering plate and benefit both parties, the giver and the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful way to go.
Yeah, let's give you an example. You know, people's accounts this year are up 10, 15, 20%, whether it be in stocks or mutual funds or in a variety of things in their non-qualified accounts. Carrie's exactly right. You know, why would you want to cash these in when you can transfer it and not pay any capital gains tax, which is capital gains tax is 15%, but still, don't give 85 cents on the dollar, give a full dollar. And if anybody has any questions, call us 395-1450 here on the radio. We'll answer your questions, how it's done. Again, it's easy. We work with the church. We have accounts set up with many churches here in Holland, Zealand, and across America.
If the account isn't with us, we just find out where the account is that church or nonprofit has, and we wire it to that account for the gifter, and it's taken care of.
Yeah. Here's some other strategies, Duke. I don't know when we have to take a break, but let us know. Other strategies is we try to keep people in a lower tax bracket, typically 10 or 15. And if it does make sense for the person, you know, try to convert your IRA to a Roth, pay the tax on it now, don't pay tax ever again. It lowers your RMD for the, you know, succeeding years. It's a good strategy, but, you know, we try to meet with their CPA, tax accountant, whoever that might be, and it's a strategy that we need to start looking at. Typically, we do this in December. We look at their taxes with their CPA, and we might convert $500. We might convert $5,000, whatever it is. But lots of people take advantage of paying tax now, paying the tax forward, before they get into that RMD situation where they have to take a lot of it out, which could affect their Social Security, taxing their Social Security. So it's always a strategy for people. And you need to deal with people who get tax strategy.
Well, and, you know, like Jack mentioned, it has to fit the individual. It's not right for everybody. It's not right for every one of our listeners. But it has to fit. And if it fits, it's a good strategy to use. And like Jack mentioned, you need to sit down with your CPA to figure out what works and what you can move on over.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a call here.
All right.
Good morning. You're online with our guests. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yeah, you mentioned, I don't know, your capital gains is 15%?
Yeah, just, you know, it depends if you hold it a year, 15%.
20,
I'm sorry. Depends on your tax bracket, though. Depends on your tax bracket.
Okay, so I just sold my house, how long do you have to buy something else take care of that capital gains?
Yeah, I don't know that answer because the laws have changed on houses. I know if you keep it for a year, then, you know, it's a capital gain like a regular asset is, but I'm not really sure. You'd have to talk to your tax accountant because I've had two questions on that the last 2 weeks. And it said you need to call your tax accountant on that.
To buy something else?
Yeah, to buy something else. I mean, if you sold your house, you know, if you sold a, you know, your house or a rental house, I do not know that answer.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yep. Now, that's a good question because I don't know that answer. It used to be you could roll it over to the next house. You had a number of months, years to do that, but I don't know that answer today.
Yeah. You have a time frame to do it in, and I don't know that time frame anymore because, like what you said, Jack, it has changed. And, you know, I know there's another way, too. You can take that money, and people used to hold it in an escrow account, and you could hold it there for so many days and then buy something else, and you could avoid the capital gains.
Right.
But, yeah, those things have changed.
Nope, that's always a fair thing to know, but it's you know, something that you need to take a look at. Another thing we need to do at the end of the year is match up if you're going to be taking a loss in a stock. Sometimes we'll go through your portfolio and say, you know, this particular stock has not done well. It has not done well in X number of years. You've taken a loss in it. Sometimes there's a loss in a mutual fund. Right now, commodities are down, metals are down. Do we want to match up a tax loss with a tax gain? And so, therefore, you can get out of something and match it up with some of the gains you've taken. And, you know, if it has to work correctly in your portfolio, but there are some sectors right now that have been down for 3 years. And, you know, again, if we want to take some profit, that's a good time to take some profit on some stuff and match it up with those losses.
Let's take time out for a word. We'll be right back with our guests.
Budget 2. So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
And now it's back to Cooley and Godfrey. Gentlemen?
Hey, thanks, Juke. Hey, and welcome back, listeners. And we've been talking about year-end tax planning, how to efficiently gift appreciated assets or gift your required minimum distributions to charitable organizations. And really, right now, we know that that is all intact for 2013. Rolling into 2014, the government hasn't voted yet on whether to continue that or not, so we don't know it going forward. But there's a few other things that people need to think about. A very important thing that you always want to talk to a CPA about is if you fit into and have alternative minimum tax, you need to sit down with your CPA and figure out ways of possibly how to reduce that. I always sit down with mine in the last quarter of the year, and we make a list of things that, hey, I need to do before the end of the year, some things to reduce alternative minimum tax, some things to gift. You know, we look at all those things, some business expenses that I need to take in this year. Those are all important things to do.
Well, and this is, you know, it's been a good year in the market. There's going to be lots of capital gains issued this year. So if you have a non-qualified account, non-IRA, non-Roth, you're going to want to get with your tax accountant and say, geez, are these capital gains going to push me into a situation where I need to file a quarterly in the last quarter here, because we're in the last quarter of the year, October, November, December? Do I need to look at my return to make sure I have paid enough in? Because I expect, because most companies have come out with their estimates for capital gains, am I going to be in a penalty situation for not filing enough income tax? So you want to make sure that you talk with your tax preparer, and you want to talk to your CPA, whoever does your taxes, to make sure that you're okay for the year. And, you know, any time that you sell something with a large gain, are you okay for the year? Are you selling any stock options for the year that you've had lots of gains on? And any time that we do stock options, and we do quite a few for people, we always report that to the CPA to make sure that they have filed quarterlies correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get into a penalty situation in the last quarter.
I know another thing we always get asked, Jack, is how long should a person keep their tax return in? Usually that varies between 5 and 7. We just safely say, hey, keep them for 7.
Yeah, keep them for 7. Yeah, I can honestly say I've kept them all. I've kept them all. I've tried to hide those from my wife as much as I can, but I've got them stacked up in a file box. And I think I did my first return in 1967. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time
ago. Yeah, 1967 was my first return, so I got them all.
Well, and I bet it's interesting to look back. I bet the returns back then were a little bit more simplified than they are now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did my own. It was an easy 1040. So, you know, my parents didn't do them. I did my own.
Mm-hmm.
It was a one-pager. I mean, it was just like a half a page because
mm-hmm.
I had interest and W-2 earnings, and that was about it.
You know, other things, as you think of year-end tax, Jack, you mentioned converting an IRA over to Roth. Does it make sense? Roth contributions, you know, put new money into a Roth. And if you're, you know, thinking about making some last contributions, you know, you can still put money into 401ks, and sometimes you may want to increase what you're putting in the last quarter of the year to maximize it if it fits.
Well, let's talk about some misconceptions we have going on here. Many people do not know that you can put $5,500 if you're under 50, $5,500 in a Roth or a traditional IRA. Some people think it's still $5,000. Some people still think it's $4,000.
Yeah. And if you're over...
Like you, Carrie, over 50.
Over 50.
Yep, over 50.
I can put an additional $1,000 in for $6,500 for this year.
Carrie and I are both over 50, so we can put $6,500.
Good thing.
Yeah. So, you know, some people forget that. And, you know, there is... You have up until your tax filing to do that. However, the Roth conversion needs to be done this year, 2013, and most people like that done 2 weeks before the end of the year to get the paperwork filed correctly.
Now, there's one thing, too, that if it comes after you've converted and you're done and it comes tax time and something doesn't figure out the way you thought it would be and you're paying too much on taxes because you converted it from an IRA to Roth, the government does allow a redo, don't they?
Yeah, they allow a redo. It's called a recharacterization. Again, if they get to their tax prepared and we haven't given them correct information, or they had additional things come in, again, capital gains, extra interest, again, it's been a good year. Sometimes it comes in where we're going to bump them into the 25% tax bracket, and we need to recharacterize that. We have up until October if they extended their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things that we're able to do to get the whoops when you do those too much conversion.
Yep. IRS doesn't allow a redo on whoops too often. This is one of them.
Yeah. So here's some other misconceptions that people have when they put money in their retirement. You can do 100% of your check. So your tax planning, it's the fourth quarter. I've heard Carrie and Jack on the radio today. Honey, let's take a look at our taxes. Let's make sure that we fill up our 401k at our job. $17,500 for people under 50, $22,500 if you're over 50. And you can put 100% of your check in. 100%.
Just so long as it doesn't go over the maximum over dollar the
max,
allowed.
Over the dollar maximum. But, you know, say a person right now is at $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they could put in $22,500. Well, you know, they need to put in a lot more. So you need to review your 401k. Where are you with taxes? If I put an extra $5,000 in, what's that going to do? Is it going to keep me into a lower tax bracket? Can we do a Roth as well? Am I in a lower tax bracket where I qualify for a Roth? So, you know, people need to do tax planning right now for next year.
They do. Absolutely.
And plan your budgets, plan everything right now. Talk to your CPA, your tax preparer. Just give them a call and say, here's where I am. What do you think I should be doing? Because it gets to be next year, you're too late. Well, you can still put money in your traditional things, but your 401k is by calendar year.
Okay, let's take time out for a word here. We'll be right back with our guests. If you have a question,
Body Experts on Facebook and win stuff. Auto Body Experts, where loaner cars are always free. In Holland, in Hudsonville, in Wayland, and on Facebook. Facebook.com/AutoBodyRepair.
And let's take a look at our weather. The weather is brought to you by Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And the weather outlook is for afternoon showers with a high of 47. Tonight, showers with a low of 35. Tomorrow, showers possible with a high of 46. And right now, we're at 43 degrees here in the Tulip City. And we have a call coming in, I do believe. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yes, I have a question. My sister has trouble with her credit card. I'm making the payments. Now, can they touch your Social Security check?
Not unless they have a court order. I think they might be able to tap that if they have a court order to say if she hasn't paid her bills, they might be able to tap into it if you get a court order. I'm not familiar with anybody that's had their Social Security tapped by, but if they get a court order to say, you know, we need to garnish her Social Security, I've not heard of anybody garnishing Social Security, but I imagine they can.
Okay.
Yeah, because,
okay.
You know, it's you know, you want to make sure that you always pay your bills on time,
right.
And to avoid the, you know, because they're going to charge you high fees. You look at some of these retail cards, I mean, some of these retail cards are 20%, 23%. I don't know how they get away with that. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to her, and I know that she has tried to work with them and just can't.
Well, you know, there is some debt collection agencies out there that are a little bit more heavy-handed. I don't have anything in particular written down here, but, you know, you might want to find a debt collection person. You have to be really careful to deal with the right people, but they'll negotiate and say, listen, you're going to get nothing unless we negotiate.
Well, and that could be like we had Rick Skur the other week, and Rick Skur is an attorney here in Holland. And he does services like that, so that would be somebody that you could reach out to. I don't have his number on me, but just look up the name Schreur, Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, yeah, that's all.
And we got another call coming in. Good morning, you're online with our guests.
Yeah, I'm eligible, and I took a little money out of my 401. And I paid the tax and everything on that. Do I need to show that to my income tax man when I'm ready to do my taxes?
Yeah, are you under 60?
No.
Okay, so there's no penalty, but yeah, you're going to get a 1099-R at the end of the year from your 401k provider. And so that's going to be fully taxable. And if you took out something that's going to bump you into another bracket and you have not withheld enough, are you still working? Even if you have a W-2, you should be contacting your CPA to say, you know, if it's $500, but if you took out enough to get you to a penalty situation, it's always easy to call him or call her and say, okay, here's what I took out. I want to make sure I've withheld enough in my W-2.
Okay. Okay, because I, you know, they did that for me, I hope. Took all my taxes out.
Well, but you never know that. I mean, typically if you're working, they're going to take out 20%, but you just need to be sure.
Okay.
You can take a look at your check stub when you got that, you know, withheld. So did you ask them, I want to take out an X number, and they withheld some? Do you know for sure?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
I asked for $10,000. I got a check for 79.
Yeah, so they did take out the 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would think you're fine.
Okay.
Yep, I think you're fine.
Thank
you. Yeah, thanks for calling. You know, here's some other financial checkups at the end of the year. You know, we pretty much, you know, went through some of the things you need to do, make sure that you've withheld enough, you know, and then the next thing is to college plan. You know, we have a great college information that was put out by J.P. Morgan. I got this yesterday, and I'll carry it out if I share that with you right now, but it's like a 46-page document that we're willing to share with people. I can email that to you. But it talks about the need for, you know, how much an extra bachelor degree gets you, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, how much that gets you above no college degree. And it talks about college planning, how much you need to put away for those people who are saving for college, what are the plans available to save for college. So if you want to call 616-931-1223 and Janet at extension 4 would be glad to email that to you.
Well, and I think another important thing this time of year is as parents who have children that are going to go to college in this next year, one thing that comes up at the beginning in January is what's called the FAFSA form, which is a federal aid, financial aid for that you apply for online. And that needs to be filled out sooner than later. So I encourage people to go and fill it out. Now, you're not going to have all the information right away, but go online, get a place, sign on, ID, and all that stuff. Fill out what you can, and then as it gets more, you know, into the year, you're going to complete your taxes, and you come back, and you fill in that tax information. But that keeps a place in line, and the sooner you get on, the better you are with that.
Yeah, and I always encourage people right now to make sure if you have a kid going to college next year that the application is already into colleges. Already in, because it's sometimes some of these colleges are pretty hard to get into.
Well, and some colleges are going to have their decisions made here.
Well, for early acceptance,
first quarter of next year, everything's going to be pretty much decided.
So, you know, and it's also good to make college visits. Go to a number of colleges, make the visits. Don't get enthralled with buildings. Actually talk to the majors that you think your son or daughter want to go into. Talk to professors, where they're going to be going, what classes are they going to be taking. Get this out of the way right now. Go take college visits. So that's what we want you to do right now for colleges. Last thing we need to probably talk about is insurance policy review. You know, I've just done more insurance this year than I care to talk about. You know, we do sell insurance, believe it or not. We only do it if we have to. But, there, you know, we do a lot of reviews of policies. And if you have not had your policy review in 10 years, you really need to have that reviewed because tables have changed for what it takes to be eligible now for life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, take your policy and say, geez, I think I'm paying too much.
Oh, yeah.
Have them reviewed.
Yeah, have them reviewed. If you have an old policy out there that's over 5-10 years old that may have some cash value, you need to take a hard look at that and say, okay, what's going to be the better route? Because as you get older, there's going to be different needs for the family, for your spouse, and as your life needs change down the road.
Yep, I've had two people this year where the IRAs that spouses died, and they have left their IRA primary beneficiary not to the spouse but to the trust. Totally has blown this stuff up. I mean, if you are out there today, do not have the trust as the beneficiary of your IRA. Do not, unless you have a dysfunctional child or a disabled child, make sure you leave it to your spouse and to your children. Those are some things that I've seen, two things blow up.
And those are tough to clean up.
Well, they're tough to clean up. I mean, it really is.
Hey, other things as you look
We're just about out of time here, gentlemen. Why don't you give them the number one more time? If you have any other questions, you can always give them a call at the office and
absolutely
get an answer.
Absolutely, yeah. Myself, Kerry Cooley, and Jack Godfrey, we can be reached at our number, 616-931-1223, and we will take your calls, answer your questions. If we're not available, talk to Janet. She's at Extension 4, and we'll get back in touch with you.
And we're on every Saturday, Money Matters, every Saturday live, 10 to 11, every Saturday.